Probably recognized verse 3 that we read from Deuteronomy chapter 8 a moment ago, especially the last phrase there. Man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. As one of the verses that Jesus quoted when he was tempted by Satan in the wilderness. Satan had asked him to turn stones into bread. And Jesus quoted this verse from Deuteronomy, saying, "Oh, no, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Now, and I believe that we do, that we need every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord, and I believe that we have this in our King James Bible. I believe we have the very words that God wants us to have, and so I preach from that Bible. I always have and always will. But tonight, I've entitled the message, Five Essential Daily Requirements. Somebody, and I don't know who, is probably the government or a board sanctioned by the government, has gotten together and decided what we need on a daily basis as far as vitamins, minerals, and nutrients. Okay? And for most food products, the manufacturers of those products have taken those requirements as defined by somebody and used it in their advertising. And so regardless of what kind of food you pick up, if it has a label on it, it usually has the information about how much of the vitamins or the minerals or the nutrients that are required on a daily basis that product, a serving of that product, provides. And you know what I'm talking about. If you've paid attention to the labels, you know it says, hey, you know, this oatmeal provides 19% of your daily requirement of niacin, or, you know, 18% of your daily requirement of iron. Okay, so somebody's figured out what we need, and people have used that to advertise their products. Now, because I don't know who put that together, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that I believe what they say. I mean, I'll take it on face value. I don't usually eat by what's provided as far as daily requirements of vitamins, nutrients, and minerals. I usually eat because I like what I'm eating. You can tell that by the shape that I'm in. And so I might pay attention when I'm on a health kick trying to lose a little weight and make sure I get all my vitamins, about how much potassium is, you know, is in the foods that I eat. But for the most part, I don't pay much attention to it. But I do pay attention to what God tells us that we need on a daily basis. I do pay attention to what the Word of God says that we need to live. And when God says, hey, you're not going to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And by the way, I think when God says live, I don't think he's just talking about keeping our physical bodies alive. I think he's talking about the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. He said, I've come to give you life, but not just life, life more abundantly. He said that is recorded in the book of John. And I think that's the kind of life that God not only wants us to have, but he defines for us in his word and tells us what we need to do on a daily basis to have that kind of life. And so tonight, I have a very simple message. I want to take some of the words that are in this book, and I want to put them under the heading of, hey, these are things that we need to do daily to have the kind of life that God wants us to have. So I've limited myself to five tonight. I'm sure if we put our heads together, we could come up with more. But I mentioned to you tonight five things that I think we ought to do on a daily basis to have the life that God wants us to have. So here's the first one, and it's sort of a paradox. You'll understand what I mean by that when I say it. The first thing that we need to do every day in order to live is to die. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31, he says, I die daily. I die daily. What the Apostle Paul was saying is, he says, I need to die to self every day. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. What Jesus was saying in that verse is the same thing that Paul said in 1 Corinthians. We need to die to ourselves daily. We need to submit ourselves and our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. Now, sacrifices in the Old Testament were sacrifices when they were killed, when they gave up their life. And so if we're going to present our bodies as a sacrifice to God, a living sacrifice to God, there's still some death involved. And that death that's involved is not physical death, but dying to ourself, dying to our desires, dying to the things that we want, and living for the things that the Lord wants. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, "I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And again, it's only reasonable because of what Jesus did for us on Calvary. I mean, he paid the price for our sin. We talked about it this morning, everything he endured as part of his crucifixion. And so it's only our reasonable service, if we've enjoyed the salvation that comes from Jesus Christ, it's only our reasonable service that we give back to him our bodies. A living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So we need to die to self. We need to die to our desires. Paul said, I need to do it on a daily basis. I can't just do it on the Lord's Day. I can't just do it on Sunday. I can't just do it twice a week. Every day I need to remind myself that I no longer am my own, that I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that I make that choice to die to what I want so that I can live for what he wants. And so we need to die to self. We need to die to criticism. I read the story of two pastors. They got in a Facebook war. They were criticizing one another, and feelings were hurt on both sides. And one day, one of the pastors came to the home of the other one and knocked on the door, and he says, "I've come to apologize." And the one that answered the door, he didn't say it, but he thought to himself, so the story goes, "Well, it's about time." And the pastor says, I want to apologize for being hurt by what you said." He didn't apologize for what he said. He says, "I want to apologize for being hurt what you said by what you said. Because you see, I need to die to myself daily. And if I was dead the way I'm supposed to be, what you said shouldn't have hurt me." Now again, he was preaching a sermon to the guy that answered the door because he needed to die daily too and not be hurt by the criticism. But look, if you try to stand for Christ, criticism is going to come. There's going to be people that won't like you. There are going to be people that will say things about you. And you just need to die to not only self, but to the criticism that may come. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 2, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." So Paul says, I'm dead. I'm alive in Christ, but I'm dead to self. I'm dead to the criticism that comes. And by the way, if we die to criticism, we'll also die to revenge. Okay? I mean, if we're dead, dead people don't get back at anybody or try to get back at anybody. And so when we die to self and we die to criticism, we die to revenge. You see, the best way to get back at somebody, and I know this is not the reason we ought to do it, but the best way to get back at somebody is let the Lord take care of it. Because he does it a whole lot better than we do. Paul wrote in Romans 12:19, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." In Exodus 14:14, the Bible says, "The Lord shall fight for you." You don't have to fight your battles. God will fight them for you. So die to self, die to criticism, die to revenge. Let me give you a couple illustrations tonight. Lee Robertson was pastor of a church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, a big church and a very successful church. Tennessee Temple was a college they started as part of the church. And there was a lady that met him in the parking lot after one of the morning services. And he could tell as she was getting ready to talk to him that she was mad. And she said, "Dr. Robertson, you know me, don't you?" And he said, "Yes, I know you. You've been a member of this church for over 20 years. 23 years I've been a member of this church." And for those 23 years, I've sat in one particular seat up in the balcony. Did you notice what happened this morning? And Brother Robertson said, no, I did not. What happened this morning? She said, somebody was sitting in my seat. He said, really? She said, yes, I got so mad. I didn't even stay for the service. I've been out in the parking lot ever before you, since the service started. I am so mad. I don't know that I'll ever be back to this church. And Dr. Robertson said, my dear lady, that seat's not yours. That seat belongs to the Lord. Amen. If you want that seat, you should have been here for Sunday school and saved that seat. See, preachers like to dig a little bit too. You should have been here for Sunday school and saved that. She said, it doesn't matter. I'm never coming back. Well, Dr. Robertson was led. He had a radio program where he gave a little devotion. And he was led the following day on the Monday after that encounter to teach on dying to self, that we need to die to self. And so he was hoping the lady would listen. So he came back to church the next Sunday morning. He looked up in the balcony. She wasn't there. He said, oh, she must not have listened. And then as he scanned the crowd, right in the middle of the middle section, he saw that lady sitting right there. And she had a big smile on her face. And she didn't say it out loud, but she mouthed to her preacher, I died to self. I died to self. And she found a seat, a different seat. So we need to die to self. I read another illustration. Out west, they had an infestation of grasshoppers. And it's sort of like your box elders, Brother John. They came in swarms. And on one particular farm, they ate all the wheat. All the wheat. Now, this farmer that had this farm was a new Christian. And so, and the grasshoppers ate all his wheat. And so he went to the farmer next door who was a more mature Christian. In fact, the one that had his neighbor had invited him to church, and he was a result of him coming to church and getting saved. And he went over, the young Christian went over and talked to the mature Christian and said, I'm so mad at God. I am just so mad at God. And by the way, Brother John, those box elders, or whatever you call them, those bugs, are a creation of your heavenly Father. They are. They were created by God. He has a purpose for them. And you're out there killing one of God's dear little creatures. I just thought I'd throw that in for you. So this young Christian went to his neighbor. Said, I am so mad at God, he let all those grasshoppers eat all my wheat. And this older, more mature Christian looked at him and said, whose wheat is that? It's really God's wheat. And if he wants to feed it to a bunch of grasshoppers, he can do it because it's his wheat. And he used that as an illustration to talk to him about dying daily to self. Peter and John died to self. They lived for the Lord. They stood before the rulers in Acts chapter 14, and they were bold in their proclamation of the gospel. I mean, these were the guys, the rulers were the ones that told them to shut up and quit preaching about Jesus, but they were bold. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 4, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus and had died to self. So every day, we need to die to self. Number two, every day, we need to resist. We need to resist the devil. In James 4, verse 7, submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You see, Satan wants to mess us up. Satan wants to destroy our testimony. Satan wants us to not have any testimony at all for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's lost us to heaven. He's not going to take us to hell. And I mentioned this morning, Satan wants everybody to go to hell. That's where he's headed, and he wants to take as much company with him as he can. The Lord's not willing any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so when we get saved, you might think, well, Satan just sort of gives up on us because he's lost us for eternity. Well, he doesn't give up on us. Because he knows a Christian that's living the kind of life that God wants them to live is going to be a witness to other people. And we're going to talk about that. That's one of my points, number five. So he tries to do everything he can to mess up our testimony so that we won't be an effective witness for Christ. And so Satan comes. Bible says, as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And James says, hey, if you submit yourself to God, if you die to self and you live for the will of God, not my will, but thine, O Lord, as Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, it'll be easier to say no to Satan. It'll be easier to resist Satan. When you're saying yes to God all the time, it's a whole lot easier to say no to the devil. I mean, you have to say no, Satan. I've already said yes to God. I can't say yes to you. So resist. As Brother Dan said in our testimony time, when Satan comes knocking at the door, let God answer the door. Send Jesus to the door and tell him, let him tell Satan to get out of here, to scram. I read a story about, it took place over in Holland. And the deer hunters over there hunt deer with dogs. And the deer have found out that if they get in the middle of the lily fields, that the dogs can't pick up their scent and they can't lead the hunters to them. So when Satan comes after you, you get in the middle of God's grace, you get in the middle of God's love, you get in the middle of God's mercy, and he won't be able to find you. He won't be able to find you. I read another story. I've done a lot of reading this past week. Read the story of a preacher. He's on his way home from church. He was a little bit discouraged. There were some problems going on, a few problems, and he was discouraged. He got to thinking, nobody really cares about me anyway. He had the Elijah complex. Elijah told God when he was hiding in the wilderness, I'm the only one that tries to serve you. Everybody else has started worshiping Baal. And the preacher was just thinking about those discouraging thoughts when he suddenly stopped the car. He stopped the car, pulled it over to the side of the road, got out, went over to the passenger door, opened the passenger door and said, get out, Satan. Just get out. I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm a child of God. I serve a risen Lord. I'm on my way to heaven. You're not going to get me. Get out of my car. So resist. Here's what we need to do every day. We need to die. We need to resist. Number three, we need to visit with God. We need to visit with God every day. We need to make some time for God every day. Every day. I don't care how busy you are. I know some of you have busy, busy lives. I mean, you go from sun up to sundown, and even after the sun goes down, you're still going. I know some of you have schedules that are packed. And so I would encourage you tonight, put on that busy schedule, time with God. Time to spend in his word. Time to spend in prayer. Time to just fellowship with him. You know, we sing that little chorus, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me, and he's the one I'm waiting for. Every day is with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And it is, but not if you don't spend time with him. It's only when you spend time in his word. It's only when you spend time in prayer. It's only when you spend time with Jesus that he grows sweeter every day. And there's nothing sweeter than fellowshipping with him. There's nothing sweeter than spending time with him. David said, 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. David says, 7 times a day. 7 times a day. Yeah, I stop and I lift my praise to God because he's so good. If you don't read your Bible, if you don't pray, you're going to miss that fellowship. You're going to miss the sweetness of that fellowship. So every day, take time to visit with God. I got to hurry. Almost out of time. Number 4, we need to watch. Watch. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. I'll remind you tonight, the Lord's going to come back. One of these days, and I think it's soon, and I'm not setting any dates because we don't know. Nobody knows. But one of these days, what the next thing's going to happen, we as Christians are going to hear the trumpet blow. Trumpet's going to blow. We're going to hear it. There's going to be a voice from heaven that says, come up hither. And then the graves are going to empty out of those that are saved. Those bodies are going to get a head start. And then we that are alive, if we're still alive at that point, are going to be caught up with them together in the air to be with the Lord forever. Amen. Now, that day is approaching. And what that verse in Matthew says, we need to watch. We need to live every day with the expectation this could be the day that Jesus is going to come back. This could be the day that I hear the trumpet blow. This could be the day that I leave this world, rise in the air, in the clouds, to be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. Do you know, that could happen today. That could happen tomorrow. It could happen on Tuesday. It could happen any day. And we need to live our lives in the expectation that it would. It will. Job did. In chapter 19, he wrote this, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." Last time that I spoke with my grandmother, she was in a convalescent home. I went down on a Sunday afternoon. I'd preach on Sunday morning, then drive down on Sunday afternoon, visit with her for a couple hours, and come back. I said, "Grandma, how you feeling today?" She said, "Not so good. I'm just waiting for Jesus to come take me home." She was watching. She was watching. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." So every day we need to die. We need to resist. We need to visit with the Lord. We need to watch. And then finally, number 5, we need to witness. We need to witness. We need to tell somebody about Jesus. That's why the Lord left us here. Jesus is the light of the world, but he's left us here to share that light with others. There are people that you will meet tomorrow and meet the next day and meet the next day after that, that God has brought across your path for one reason, and that reason is so that you can be a witness for your Savior. That reason is so that you can tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. We sing the song, "There's a call comes ringing over the restless waves, send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save, send the light, send the light." One of the greatest responsibilities that we have and one of the greatest privileges that we have is to represent our Savior, to tell others how he died, how he paid the price of their sin, and how if they would ask him, he would save them. By the way, I tell you that tonight, if you're here and you've never received Christ as your Savior, you're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. That penalty is to be separated from God for all eternity. We couldn't pay that penalty. Nothing we could do to pay for our sins, but we didn't have to because God devised a plan. He sent his Son, his perfect Son, to come live among us. He tempted in all points like as we, the Bible says, yet without sin. And so, and if we receive him, the Bible says he'll forgive us of our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, dress us in the righteousness of Christ, make us a child of God. I mean, I could go on the rest of the night telling you what we have when we come to Jesus Christ. But if you're here tonight, never done that, I invite you to come to him. He's the only hope that you have for heaven. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." You won't get there by good works. You won't get there by getting baptized. You won't get there by taking the Lord's Supper like we did this morning. You won't get there by joining the church. All those are good things, but it doesn't make any difference when it comes to whether you go to heaven or not. It's only what you do with Jesus Christ. And so if you're here tonight, you're here for a purpose. You're not here just by accident. You're not here just by coincidence. You're here on purpose. God had you here for a reason. And if you're unsaved, that reason is for you to come to Christ tonight. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. I'm so grateful that we do have the words that you spoke. We can read them every day. Thank you for reminding us that we just don't live by bread alone, but we live by the words that have proceeded from your mouth. And I pray tonight that as we've listed some of the things that your word tells us to do on a daily basis so that we can live the life that you want us to live, I pray we would make them a daily part of our life. I pray that we would die to self. I pray that we would resist the devil. I pray that we'd visit with you every day. I pray we'd be ever watchful for your coming back. And then I pray that we would share and we would witness and share with others what you've given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray if there is just one here tonight that's never received Christ as their Savior, that the Holy Spirit has been working on them the past few minutes. The Holy Spirit has convicted them of their sin, convicted them of their need for a Savior. And Father, that in just a moment you would help them to come so that we could take the Bible and show them from the Bible what it is to ask Jesus to be their Savior. So I pray you bless this invitation. If there's things that you've laid on Christians' hearts tonight that they need to deal with, I pray that they would use this time to do it. So bless this invitation. Use it as you see fit. We give it to you, asking you to make it hollow tonight. Hallow it tonight. Make it a special time tonight. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.